Hello and good evening, I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. My guest today is Datuk Wan Saiful Wan Jun. He is the newly elected Perikatan Nasional MP for Tasik Gelugur in Penang, also the information chief for Bersatu, and for 2 years up till June was the chairman of PTPTN. Wan Saiful, thank you so much for joining me on the show. It's good of you to be on the show tonight. Now, I want to begin our conversation today with the Perikatan Nasional's win of Padang Serai parliamentary seat in Kedah last night. I think 56.5% of total votes cast were to Perikatan Nasional. Winning that seat, was a PKR seat for 3 terms since 2008. Now we have all 222 parliamentary seats accounted for. With the Padang Serai win, Perikatan Nasional has 74 seats in parliament. Can we get some initial reactions? I mean, it just happened, but what is your sense of the win? Why did Perikatan Nasional win that seat?
Yeah, I think it's a big win for us. It's also a very important win for us. Right from the beginning, I've been telling people that I'm really concerned about the Padang Serai election.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, for the first time, we saw Pakatan Harapan and Barisan Nasional working together. Before GE15, I've been telling people that whoever can form a coalition, you know, 3 big coalitions, Perikatan Nasional, Barisan Nasional and Pakatan Harapan, if any two can form a partnership, the likelihood is they will win big in the election. So my concern remains if PH and BN were to work together, then they could have stolen Padang Serai.
You initially thought that Padang Serai would remain with PKR?
With PH.
So then what do you think changed?
I think that that's a big wave. It shows that the public rejected the partnership between Pakatan Harapan and Barisan Nasional.
After less than 2 weeks?
Yes, I think people have made up their mind. And right from the beginning, people were also cautious about the potential partnership between Pakatan Harapan and Barisan Nasional. And we have been saying that PH and BN have been negotiating for months before GE15. When we said that, both PH and BN leaders were denying it, or they tried to deny it. It was proven true. So I think Padang Serai and even Tioman, even though we lost by a slim margin, the majority was reduced and the level of support to us was really encouraging. So I think in Tioman, we did not win, but it was a good result. In Padang Serai, it was a brilliant result. It shows that the public is supportive of Perikatan Nasional. And I also want to very quickly at the beginning here to set the tone for this conversation. I disagree with this idea that there's a Malay wave, there's a Malay tsunami, there's a green Islamic uprising and
all
that.
So you don't agree with that term, the green wave?
I think what we're seeing here is the vast majority of new voters, especially the new generation of Malaysians who have entered the political arena by being able to vote this time round. They're not voting because it's a Malay party. I don't think that's the case. I think they're voting based on integrity. This is an integrity wave where people are saying enough with the corruption, enough with the lies, enough with the storytelling that we have been seeing for years. Let's support a new party in the form of Perikatan Nasional.
Okay, well, if it is in fact an integrity wave as you say it, how then would Perikatan voters feel now that you have, upon hearing allegations of 600 billion ringgit worth of improprieties linked to the Perikatan Nasional administration, would that then defeat the purpose of what you say voters were voting for, integrity, when now there are allegations of a lack of integrity?
Well, prove it. It's an allegation. We know that Anwar is full with wind and hot air. So let's ask him to prove it. And we have seen how he backtracked from 600 billion. It went down to just beberapa puluh billion, you know. So the amount is reducing. And let's see if next week the amount changes again.
You don't think it hurts the credibility of
Farid Bhai? I don't think so. In fact, Anwar should explain what is he giving back to all the corporate leaders, the tycoons who sponsored him, the private jets, the helicopters, you know, and he's able to live without taking the salary of the Prime Minister. So how is he supporting himself? Is he living beyond his means? You know, who's paying for his house in Sungai Long? He should explain where is he getting the money from to pay for his own campaign.
Okay, that leads me to the question of political funding, but we'll come back to that. I do want to tap your thoughts, Wan Saiful, over GE15, the results of that. And it's been a couple of weeks now. I think that the political aftermath has simmered. So it's kind of good time to take stock of what's happened. Analysts have said that Perikatan Nasional's unexpectedly strong performance in GE15 was because it rode on that anti-barisan sentiment that you were talking about, the integrity sentiment, to capture what can be called as conservative support. I'm wondering whether you see a distinction that needs to be made between support for PAS and support for Bersatu.
I think you mentioned the word conservative. Let me just clarify that conservatism is actually a modern political theory, political philosophy. It's about defending the values that we have. It's about an open economy. It's about being a trading nation. So conservatism is not something negative. If you look at a country like the United Kingdom, it's always a contest between the left and the conservatives. You look at the US as well. It's always been a contest between the left in the form of Democrats and Republicans who are conservative. So conservatism is okay. In fact, I've been saying right from the beginning, I'm a liberal conservative from a political philosophy point of view. This is not necessarily a bad thing, and I think Perikatan Nasional is representing that view now. I really hope we can move forward in this country by talking about ideologies, you know. So by labelling Perikatan Nasional as a conservative bloc, I think it's okay. That means we sit on the centre-right. It's the Pakatan Harapan side that's a little bit confused still, I think. Because every time people say that they belong on the left, they would retaliate with denial.
Sorry, can I just clarify? So if you say Perikatan Nasional sits centre-right, you're saying PAS sits centre-right?
Yeah, but combination. What I'm saying is the combination of the parties within Perikatan Nasional puts us as a bloc on the centre-right. Within the right side of the political philosophy and the left side of political philosophy, you can move to the centre, you can move to the further end. Mm. So I think Perikatan Nasional is firmly on the centre-right position. The other side needs to define themselves. We are saying that they belong on the left. Why are they so hesitant to admit that?
Okay, the discussion about ideology, political ideology in Malaysia is still quite nascent. It's still in its infancy. I think there's a lot of people get confused with labels and ideology, and there's a lot of misconceptions around these terms. I do want to ask you, though. I mean, I'm going to quote a comment from PAS, who said that political Islam has gained popularity in Malaysia and the conservative religious politics of PAS becoming more attractive and have found an audience in young and first-time voters. That's PAS's stance on the results of G15. Is that where Bersatu is coming from as well? Bersatu being an ethno-nationalist, ethnocentric party.
Yeah, and I think we both share our commitment to integrity, to good governance, to fighting corruption, to not lifting up again the kleptocrats.
Do you agree that political Islam has gained popularity in Malaysia?
Yes, it's becoming more popular now, and it's a more moderate version of political Islam as well. The political Islam has always existed in this country. You look at the debate that's been ongoing since the 1930s. You see, you know, at that time in the early days, it was Hizbul Muslimin before it became PAS. So the debate about political Islam has always been in existence. PAS split up to form Amanah, to a splinter party called Amanah, who claimed to be more progressive side of political Islam. So political Islam has always been an interest of everybody in Malaysia. even people who are not Muslims are interested in political Islam.
Well, because it affects their lives as well, living in this country. Just now you talked a little bit about being centre-right. And I do want to see that. I've noticed that after the elections, after the aftermath of the political deadlock, we saw the rise of increasing racial and religious rhetoric. And it's undeniable that a significant part of that was coming from the PAS camp. What has been obvious to me and many others is Muhyiddin's silence on this has been deafening. Will Muhyiddin say something to temper the religious rhetoric coming from his coalition, his component party?
I disagree slightly with that premise, though. People in PAS and Bersatu and Perikatan Nasional generally is saying things that we have been saying for many months. So nothing has changed. What has changed, however, is on the Pakatan Harapan and Barisan Nasional side trying to label that conversation as an ethnic divide. I don't think so. What we are saying is the other side is on the left. The other side is ideologically incompatible with the core belief that allowed the establishment of this country on the leftist ideas. Why are they labeling us as racist and religious and all that? What I will say is, stop turning this conversation into a racial debate. Let's focus on the ideology. Tell us, why are you so afraid to admit that you sit on the centre-left or on the left side of the equation originating from the socialist family? So every time we raise that, they say, ni racist, ini terlalu Islamic. Why? Why are we moving in that direction? If you want to stop the conversation, then you stop. Because we are not doing that. We are saying all the things that we've been saying right from the beginning. We are saying that we will never work with the kleptocrats. Why? So stop accusing us of being racist. Tell us why you're working with the kleptocrats.
Okay, I'm going to need a minute to digest that. And it's an opportune time to take a quick break. We will be right back after this to continue the conversation with Wan Saiful Wan Jan, Chief Information Officer for Bersatu. Stay tuned to Consider This. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. I'm chatting tonight to my guest in the studio, Dato' Wan Saiful Wan Jan. He recently won the Tasik Bilgo seat in Penang in GE15. He's also the information chief for Bersatu and former chairman for PTPTN. Wan Saiful, let's talk a little, coming back to the conversation that we had just before the break. Can you help me understand if it was just purely ideology that stopped Perikatan Nasional from wanting to be part of the coalition government with Pakatan Harapan?
There is an ideological divide that we need to accept that.
Okay.
And at the same time, we were very clear that we do not want to work with a court cluster. We have a principle right from the beginning, and we are consistent with that principle. So right from the beginning, even on the UMNO side, you need to remember the numbers again. We were talking to 10 to 15 people from the UMNO side. We're saying you don't have to switch party, just express your support to Tan Sri Muhyiddin to become Prime Minister. But we don't want to work with the court cluster.
Right.
It is not us. It is Anwar who's willing to work with the court cluster and putting a key leader of the court cluster as Deputy Prime Minister of this country.
Was there ever an option on the table of Pakatan Harapan plus Perikatan Nasional? Was that ever a discussion on that?
No.
Why not? Was Bersatu's hands tied because PAS did not want to work with DAP?
No, we both didn't want. Neither Bersatu nor PAS wanted to work with DAP. We had a long experience with that party and we do not... So don't just limit it there. We also do not want to work with the court cluster. So the two different groups that we as a matter of principle, we say that we're not going to work with them. And we stuck to our principle. And I'm really proud of that. I'm actually shocked by how clear remember, many years ago, I coined this term, the bangsa bubble. I'm really shocked.
I remember that vividly.
Yes. So I use that term, the bangsa bubble. I never realized that. I never thought that I would be using this term again. I was shocked at how quickly the bangsa bubble switched allegiance, from hating the court cluster to embracing them now, just because of political obedience to a leader. We need to be more principled in this country. We need to have some idealism in terms of what we're fighting for. That's why I'm really proud that for Perikatan Nasional, we're willing to say we will remain in the opposition. And we don't mind all these changes that's taking place. We will remain as a principled opposition.
Okay, that's quite interesting, because I think a lot of people, and I'm maybe speaking as someone within the bangsa bubble, saw it as pragmatism. I mean, hesitations aside, everyone had hesitations about the way this coalition government was formed, but and the composition of the coalition cabinet. But the idea that pragmatism had, or political expediency had to take precedence to get a government going.
Yeah, so thank you for agreeing with me that it is unprincipled.
Okay, all right.
It's tomato and tomatoes.
What then do you see? What challenges do you see? Now, you effectively have now become an opposition against a supermajority in Dewan Rakyat. What challenges do you foresee this coalition government facing going forward, working together? Are you apprehensive?
Well, I'm really looking forward to see how long this government can survive. Even last night, there was already some people from that coalition in the government trying to initiate discussions. I'm not at liberty to disclose further, but I can say that to you that cracks are appearing already in this government. So I don't know how long they will remain, because as you say, this is a government built not on principles, and as a result, you see instability. You need to remember who this government is working with. It's people who are trying to run away from court cases. It's people who have a track record of withdrawing support simply because the Prime Minister refuses to follow their requests in terms of personal interests that they have. So this is a very interesting coalition to watch, especially from an opposition point of view.
Okay, so Bersatu as a party has been part of the ruling government since 2018. Now it finds itself in the opposition. What kind of opposition is Perikatan Nasional going to be against, as I mentioned a bit earlier, this supermajority, but according to you, a fragile coalition?
Yeah, and I'm happy that we are in the opposition at the moment. And the reason for that is it gives us the opportunity to strengthen the coalition, the Perikatan Nasional coalition, to make sure that our MPs can play their role up to the standard required to be an effective opposition. I think we should take time as opposition to build up our capacity. So on the Perikatan Nasional side, we will be having a series of meetings this week and next week. And I think we're going to build a very interesting team.
Okay.
We will form a shadow cabinet. The announcement will be coming up from the leadership of Perikatan Nasional.
Would you like to be in that shadow cabinet?
I hope I can play a role, but
do you have a portfolio you're looking out for?
I do have interests, but as you know, from many years ago, you've been inviting me to interviews. I'm an activist by nature, so with or without a portfolio, I will still go work.
Can I ask you, so I read, I saw a video, Rafizi Ramli had quite cheekily challenged Perikatan Nasional as opposition to speak up against if there's any abuse of power, corruption perpetrated by this coalition government. And he said, well, to beat his personal record of being locked up and being sued 16 times. I'm wondering, as someone, particularly as information chief of Bersatu, and someone who clearly feels very passionately about remaining in opposition as you do, are you goaded by statements like that?
I'm not at all. I think Rafizi has lost his credibility.
In what way?
He may have a track record of exposing many different things before, but I really do not want to copy him in terms of bowing and kneeling down to someone like Zahid Hamidi in pursuit of a position. So, we talk about principles. He has none.
Okay. Well, in any government, we want to see a strong opposition to provide a check and balance, part of democracy. Who will be the leader of the opposition, Dewan Rakyat?
A name has been decided, but it will be announced soon. We also have discussed about the role of speaker and deputy speakers, but I don't want to jump the gun.
Can you address rumours then? It's going to be one of the sekjens of either PAS or Bersatu, and not the presidents of either party. This is quite interesting to me. Why are the sekjens being, the names of the sekjens being pushed forward instead of the presidents?
I think we better wait. I know the name already, so if I make comments here...
We're hearing names as well. Okay. I find that quite interesting that neither president is interested or is said to be interested in that. Yeah. Okay, so opposition, looking to be a strong opposition. You are a first-time MP in this Dewan Rakyat. What, in this election cycle, what are you hoping to achieve? I know, as you pointed out a bit earlier, you have a background in pushing for reforms. What kind of reforms are you thinking about focusing on during your tenure?
I think there are two different things here. One is about representing my constituency, Tasik Glugo in Penang. You know, there are many issues there. We have many young people who need a lot of attention to fulfill their potentials. There's an issue about internet coverage in Tasik Glugo. There's an issue about padi farming and the impact of climate change.
So local
issues. So I need to represent those issues to the highest level. Mm. At the same time, I think if you look at my track record, I've been a champion in many issues around governance, good governance, integrity. I think I will continue doing that.
Well, you alluded to earlier about political financing. We know the political financing bill is in the works. Is that one of the reforms that you would be keen to support on? More transparency?
Definitely. I'm all in for regulations around political financing.
On that note, then, will Perikatan Nasional reveal the source of its election funds, given the speculation around it?
We're very clear that the funds came from various different donors. And we're also very clear that our Secretary General has announced that the support given to our candidates come to about 50,000 per candidate. So we're very clear on that. We have nothing to hide. And I think once the Political Financing Act comes into place, you will see that we will be among the first to be able to fulfill the requirements. But I have also one thing that I must say. From many years ago, if you look into the quotes that I've been giving on the issue of political financing, I've been saying that a prerequisite to transparency is a guarantee that there will be no victimization to the donors. So say, for example, if we know who is donating to Pakatan Harapan, who is donating to Barisan Nasional, who is donating to Perikatan Nasional, neither party will victimize a donor.
Understood. Yes, that is, has been a long concern.
Yeah,
so
but
that
that's
there will
not
be penalization of the other donors.
Of the donors, but that's not in the plans at the moment. So I'm lobbying for that clause to be included somewhere, maybe in a different act, different regulation. I'm not sure, but that guarantee is a must, because otherwise, what we will have is an enforced transparency, but also victimization, and this is not good.
Okay. So I think all eyes are, now that we know the composition of the right, all 222 seats accounted for, everyone is looking ahead or looking forward to the 19th for the special parliamentary sitting. In your mind, Wan Saiful, is there anything that can derail the vote of confidence that will happen on the 19th?
I think any derailment will come from internal sources within the government itself. As I said just now,
not from Perikatan.
At the moment, no, because we're very firm. We're taking position that we want to be the opposition. But the cracks are appearing in the government. This is a government that claims to be a united government, but they're not. So I don't know what they're going to do within that government. Even 2 days ago, someone approached me saying that, can we have a meeting? Can we arrange a meeting with the top leadership? I said, why don't you approach them directly? Because I'm quite happy with the opposition place.
Okay, that's disconcerting to hear that there are cracks. Are you willing? So, I guess what I'm asking is that, Does that make you happy to hear that? The tone comes across like you are quite pleased to see the other side falling apart.
This is my normal tone, okay. But I expect them to fall apart.
All right.
So I'm not saying that I'm hoping or not hoping. I just don't see, what exactly is this government fighting for. You know, we have political leaders who, before the election, were saying things like, yeah, we know exactly what we're going to do. The day we get in, we know tomorrow what we will do. It turns out they have no idea. The first thing they have to do is ask the civil servants to give them ideas within 2 weeks.
What would make you change your mind? I mean, in any kind of conversation, we have certain expectations. But where do you see yourself saying, okay, well, I think this could work? What might change your position that this government, this coalition government, might have a chance at working? What kind of indicators will you be watching out for?
I think as someone sitting on the inside and at the leadership level of the party, I must say the indications I'm saying is indication towards a breakup.
Well, if there was an agreement that was signed between BN and PH, would that then allay any talk about a fractious coalition?
Maybe. But let's see. Because UMNO has a track record of not fulfilling their side of the deal. You know, Ismail Sabri had an agreement. Mm. He had an amnesia as well soon after signing the agreement and becoming Prime Minister. And he's the Vice President of UMNO. So I don't know how long Zahid Hamidi's memory is, depending on his court case as well.
On that note, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. That was my conversation with Datuk Wan Saiful Wanjan, Information Chief for Bersatu and newly elected MP for Tasik Lugo, Penang. That wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night. We'll be right back.